Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
Who greatly delights in his commandments.
His offspring will be mighty in the land.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in his house. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with the man who deals generously and lends.
Who conducts his affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved.
He will be remembered forever.
He is not afraid of bad news.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. He has distributed freedom. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever.
His horn is exalted in honor.
The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away.
The desire of the wicked will perish.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
Who greatly delights in his commandments.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Barnabas is from Isaiah chapter 42. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Acts chapters 11 and 13. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus in Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who was Barnabas? You might recognize the name. You probably have heard it several times, but what do you actually know about him? We learn a bit more about him actually earlier in Acts than our reading for today. For instance, we learn that his given name was actually Joseph, but that the apostles kind of gave him a little bit of a nickname, and that's what we know him by, and that is Barnabas. And the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And so from that, we can sort of get a little bit of a picture of maybe some of his personality. He's one of those people who, when they walk into a room, they just sort of brighten everyone's day. He was an encourager, somebody who builds people up. And I think we'll see that most clearly with how he deals with Saul a little bit later. But we do know a few more things about him as well. For instance, we know that he was a Levite. So if you remember, there are the 12 tribes of Israel, right, coming from the 12 sons of Jacob. And the sons of Levi, the tribe of Levi, were the ones who were sort of responsible for being the spiritual leaders of the others. It was from the Levites that the priests were chosen. It was the Levites who would go out and wander around the other tribes, preaching the word, teaching the word. In a lot of ways, you can almost sort of think of the Levites kind of like the pastors of the Old Testament. But even though he was a Levite, which means he was a Jew, he was a native of Cyprus. So if you kind of remember in your heads the map of the Mediterranean, or if you're feeling really fancy, you can look it up on your phones, I guess. And you got Israel that's kind of over here, right? And then you got Greece over here and Egypt down here. Cyprus is that island that's kind of right in the middle of the Mediterranean, but over on the far side by Israel. So not too far, but it's kind of its own contained little area there. And that is where Barnabas is from. We also learn earlier in Acts that he sold the field that he owned and made a donation of it. This was something that was going on early in the church. A lot of people were doing it, where they were selling some of their land, maybe all of their land in some cases, and they were giving it to the church so that it could be redistributed among the poor, so that anybody who had need would be taken care of. And so we learn that Barnabas was a man of at least some resources. He was able to sell a piece of land and make a donation of it like that. But of course, much more important was that he was a man of good repute. He was trusted by the church and the apostles. We see this in our reading for today, that after the persecution had begun, particularly with the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr, that the church in Jerusalem, many of them began to kind of scatter, and they spread out to the different parts, mostly of the Roman Empire. There are a few, we think, that went east, Thomas in particular. But when they spread out, they took the word of what Jesus had done with them. And they began taking it to places that weren't in Judea. Places like, for instance, Antioch. And we can sort of see why maybe the apostles and the church elders at the time would have sent Barnabas to Antioch, because Antioch was a Greek city. And Barnabas was from Cyprus, a Greek island. But he was also a Levite. He was used to being able to teach and preach, and so we can understand why they would have done this. But it does give us a bit of an explanation here at the same time. It tells us that because he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. The Holy Spirit was living in him. And because of that, he had faith. He believed, he trusted in the Lord who had saved him. And so, as he's traveling, when he comes to Antioch, he is glad. He is happy to see that even in this Greek city, where there would not have been all that many Jews, there would have been a synagogue, we know that from later and earlier, but even here, the word of the Lord was being preached. And Barnabas, when he sees that, is glad. He speaks to the people. He encourages the people there. And he encourages them specifically to remain faithful to the Lord and to do so with steadfast purpose. But, to be honest, all of that stuff is probably not what we recognize Barnabas from the most, because that's not all that he did. Probably the reason that we know Barnabas the most well is because he was Paul's partner on Paul's first missionary journey. And, well, you may not know this. This is a little bit less known. You heard in our reading today that it was Barnabas who was the one who really brought Paul back into the church. And I want you to just kind of picture this for a second from the church's point of view, because we can understand why this is going on. So they were probably already hearing about Paul preaching in Damascus and up in that area. But they know him. This is Saul, or Paul, depending on which name you feel like using, same person. This is the guy who oversaw the stoning of Stephen. He is an actual murderer. And not just any murderer. He is someone who murdered one of the most important people, or one of the central people of the church in Jerusalem. Everybody would know about him. And so even if he did turn, even if he did start preaching the Lord, you can understand how hard it would be for the apostles and the other deacons to trust a man who they knew had murdered their friend. I think we forget that sometimes. That when Paul meets Peter, James, and John, that Peter, James, and John would have known Stephen. They would have been friends with him. He was the one that they trusted to take care of the things that they weren't able to. And this Paul, who's coming to them, saying that he has repented, saying that he has been changed, is the one who killed him. You can understand why no one would really want to take a chance on him. except Barnabas. Barnabas is willing to take the chance. And recognize what that means. It means that Barnabas is willing to go to Paul, possibly expecting that Paul will turn him in, drag him to Jerusalem, and then turn him in to be stoned. That had to be a possibility in Barnabas' mind. But instead of just ignoring him, he didn't have to do this. Barnabas was in Antioch. Paul was in Tarsus. But Barnabas goes to Tarsus. He goes to Paul's home, and he looks for him. And then he brings him back to Antioch. And they stay there in Antioch. They spend time with each other for a whole year. And we can understand, again, what's happening here. Barnabas, in many ways, is likely risking his life to see if Paul was for real. To see if this man, this murderer, really had been changed. And he had been. And if we needed any more evidence of that than the fact that Paul spent a year with Barnabas in Antioch, preaching with him, teaching with him, and nothing bad happened, then the Holy Spirit gets involved. The Holy Spirit speaks to the people of Antioch, and he gives, I believe Agabus his name was, if I remember correctly, a prophecy, a vision about a coming famine. And the disciples of Antioch decide to do something about it. And they decide to send help to Judah. And when the time comes to talk about who's going to actually carry the money, who's going to be kind of guarding it as they get it to Jerusalem so that it can be spread among those who need it, they send Barnabas, not super surprising, and Paul, which is very surprising. It only took a year for them to see that Paul had repented, that Paul had been changed. And it is likely during this trip that Barnabas is introduced to Peter, James, and John. Again, friends of the man that Paul had murdered. And they welcome him. This is what the Lord does to people. He turns murderers into apostles. He turns people who have been wounded, people who have been hurt, into people who can forgive the very ones who did it to them. But then, as if that weren't enough, the Holy Spirit gets involved in the lives of Barnabas and Paul yet again. He comes down and he specifically and publicly calls Barnabas and Saul. And at that point, they head out on their first missionary journey. It's probably worth asking the question, why do we celebrate the lives of those who have gone before us? Why are we even talking about Barnabas? Well, that's a fair question. It's a fair question to ask. Why do we focus on these people who are long dead? And there's really two main reasons that we do this. The first is so that we know the story of the church, so that we know the story of the gospel, so that we know how God worked in this world to ensure that the news of what his son had done spread to all the world. Barnabas is a part of that story. Paul, of course, is a part of that story. And hearing that, reminding ourselves of that, can help to remind us of the truth that we are a part of that story. that God is still even now working through you, just as he worked through Barnabas and Paul to speak the word of what Jesus has done for you and for the world. Which leads then to the second reason why we hear about these people, and that is so that we can be encouraged by those who have gone before us. God asks us to do hard things. It would not have been easy for Barnabas to have to go out and leave Jerusalem, not go to Cyprus, where maybe he would have wanted to go, but instead go to Antioch, a new place with new people, places where he wasn't exactly sure what kind of a reception he's going to get. And then he goes looking for Paul, a murderer, who might murder him. God does not ask us to do only easy things. But when we see what God has asked people in the past to do, the hard things that he's asked them to do, and when we see the truth that he does not abandon those people, that can encourage us as well. Our God today is the very same God that Barnabas trusted in. Our God today is the very same God who sent Barnabas and Paul out on that missionary journey. Our God today will not abandon you, just as he did not abandon them. You are free, therefore, to trust God. You would already know that, of course. You do already know that because he sent his son to die for you. Because he forgives you, no matter when you do wrong. If you need any more proof of that, look at Paul. He forgave Paul. But here we see even more reason to trust him. Yes, God has your eternity well in hand, but he also has your lives here on earth well in hand. You are free to trust him with those lives, to know that he can and will use you wherever you go, and to know that he will be right there with you wherever you go. For he has done it before, and he will do it again. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.